Daf Kuftet, 7 days in the Omer, Tov Shin Samach Tet, we're holding in Masechet Bava Kama. Ninth parak, Gozel Eitzim, coming around the bend here, on Daf Kuftet. Now we're holding at the Mishnah, on Kufchet, Omud Beit, not just any old Mishnah, mind you, but the Helika Mishnah. Heichad Pigdoni, this is of course a sugi that we've gone through about 100 times before we ever got to the Mishnah. So somebody asks the Shomer, where is the Pikadon I gave you? Amarlo Avad. Mashbiacha Ani, Omer Amin. Vahidim Eidim Ato Shachlo. In a case where a Shomer didn't claim that there was a Geneva, he said it was the Naveda. In that case, he pays, if he's discovered with Eidim, he pays only the Karen and not Kefil. Because Kefil is a Chiddush HaKro, where he imagined a Geneva, and it turns out he is therefore a Ganav. If he was Modeh Be'atzmo, then he would be Bishalim Karen V'chomesh V'ashem because of the halacha of the Shvua. Echad Pigdoni, Omer Lo Nignav. On the other hand, if his response to the question of where is the Pikadon I gave you is that it was stolen, and he swears on that, Mashbiachani, Omer Amen. In that case, if the Eidim are Mi'idim Oto Shiganavo, he's Bishalim Bishlomei Kefel, because this is the din of the Toin Tanat Ganav, that if he's Nishba, he pays Kefel as if he actually did a Geneva. In a case where he was Modeh Me'atzmo, and therefore he would clearly be potter from the Kefal, even if he had been a real Ganav, he would have been potter from Kefal. But for that case, he pays the Keren Chomesh V'Asham for the Shvua that he made of Kfirat Mamon. And over there, on such a Shvua, as we saw earlier, is always the same halacha, no matter what the Taina was. Any Shvua of Kfirat Mamon is Mechayev Keren Chomesh V'Asham. Now, you will recall that the Perek actually opened up with the strange inyonim of a Hashava, where the act of Hashava needs to be achieved, even though, in a sense, it's going through a formality. So we spoke about earlier machlokas and what was required if you're not sure who you stole from. Is it enough to just put it in the middle? Or do you have to actually make certain that it gets back to the guy, as Rabbi Akiva said? We had the din of Yolich Acharav Afilu Lamadai, which Mikra Adin, even if it's going to cost you more money to get the Gezela back to the person, you nonetheless must make certain that you were Mekayim, the act of Hashava. And there was a greater chumrah that there was Machmir. It's the Ashama Mushava Shalo. There's something that's unique about the case of a Nishba that was Chayim, that you have to go and not be Semech on anything, even though technically speaking you may have gotten the Yotzi or Chiev, that it's, you no longer have the stolen money. But you need to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Hashava. Now we get to what appears to be almost an absurdity. But in order to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Hashava, you end up actually taking money that belongs to you. And you still have to be Mekayim HaShavan. Now, what would that be? Somebody steals from his father. So Gozel et Aviv. He then goes and he's Nishma to his father, B'sheker. And meanwhile, the father dies. Now, that means that he inherited the Gezela. But if he just keeps the Gezela, he's not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of HaShavah, which here he was Mechuyev because of the new din of Kapara on the Shvuah Sheker. Ooh. What happens now? In that case, he must still give back the Keren and the Chomesh and bring his Asham. Who does he pay the Keren and the Chomesh to? Well, he pays it back to the father's heirs. He pays it back to the father's children, his brothers, in other words. Or if there are no other children, he pays it back to the father's brother. Tosfos learns that this is a reference to his own children, or to his own brothers, if he has no children. And that what we're doing is we're saying, for all intents and purposes, vis-a-vis this particular Gezela that he inherited for his father, he's out of the picture. It's as if he's dead already. Because there's a din of course, Yerush of grandchildren of a grandfather. There's nobody in the way. So it's as if his children, or his other heirs, the brothers, inherited this directly from his own father, and he doesn't take it himself. But clearly what's involved over here is a formal return, which we would not have been Mekayim if he would have kept the money for himself. Now, of course, that means we need to isolate two separate issues. On the one hand, you need to go through the formality of the return. On the other hand, the value of that return belongs to you, because you inherited it. So there's two different issues. And there has been throughout this Masechta. There's the value, and then there's the item, or in this case, if the gazelle is not actually kayemet, the act that needed to be performed for the item, which is the act of return. So what happens if this person wants to go through the formality, but doesn't want or can't afford to actually lose the value? How could he go through the formality and at the same time retain the value of the Yerusha that he has? So, says the Mishnah, Imei no rotzeh, or she'ein lo. The person doesn't want to lose the Yerusha, or he actually doesn't, he can't afford it. He won't have what to live on. There's a simple etzah that he could do. Maintain the value for himself while actually doing the formality of the return. And what is that? Borrow money. Borrow money against the land that you inherited from the father. Pay back now the brothers by saying, you know, you guys keep the land. Don't pay back the money. The one that you borrowed from will now sue to get the property that is yours out of the Yerusha. He'll take that property. So what you've done is, you've paid back, you let them keep the property. Oh gosh, somebody took the property away from you, I'm so sorry. But meanwhile, the money, the value of that property, remains yours. And as Tosafot points out, I mean, obviously, people would have to be crazy to lend you money knowing that you're not going to pay back. But we're talking about over here that you know the people, they understand what you're doing, and you know they're going to help you out. Well, so it gets even more complex later in other similar cases. So then the Baalei Chover Ba'im V'Nifra'im. How about in a case, and there's a similar case, where the value is yours, but the rights to use are not. And here would be an interesting case. A man says his son, Koni miyata ne'ne mishali. He answers him with a shvua that he's not allowed, with a neder, that he's not allowed to be ne'ne from that which the father owns. And he goes out and he dies. Well, the father doesn't own it anymore. So then there's no problem. He made Yerushana. But suppose the father says, this property that is mine is usur for you to be nene from in my lifetime or in my death. Now in that case, if you hold, this was a question that we had back in the Darim, that a person can usur a chefetz, even if it's yotzei mirushusa. So over here what happens is that the value of the chefetz he inherits, but the rights to use of the chefetz he doesn't inherit. I mean, he inherits, but he doesn't have it because there's an issur of neder that is roveitz alav. What can he do? So, imet lo yirashana, and he should be yachzir levanav olecha. The word yachzir is a little bit strange. Some suggest that maybe yachzir means find someone to be machazir acharav. But, I mean, the truth is that we could use the word yachzir in the sense that it was once part of a single estate. The imet lo, according to Rambam, by the way, the imet lo means if he doesn't have an available person. Doesn't have a son, doesn't have a brother. Difficult to find an heir. The way Rashi is learning him, Einlo, means if he doesn't afford, he can't afford to go through this and to actually lose the value. Here too, since if somebody who is usur b'ana'ah on you pays back a loan that you have, that would be okay. As we saw earlier, if you're worried about a guy who doesn't have what to eat, you could tell the storekeeper, let him take and put it on my cheshbon, even though he's usur b'ana'ah. So here too, he could be lova. The Baalei Chov can come and take that which he inherited from his father, because there they're taking the value. Since the pri of the Chov is not considered to be a direct hana'ah, so there too you have the same situation. The value remains yours, the item not. So this could be the case because you need to be mekayim a hashava, or it could equally be the case because you have a problem of an iser hana'ah. Two very different situations, but referring to the same yesod. Omar Rav Yosef, by the way, this halacha of going through the motions, I mean, if you can't find a yoresh, you could even give it back to the Arnaki Shel Tzedakah. You could donate it to charity, and this would be in your father's name, which would be just as good. Says Rav Papa, but Tzarik Shomar Zeh Gezel Avi. I mean, it's clear that that's the case, by the way. If you're paying the other brothers, you have to tell them, this is not a gift. I owe this to Dad. Here, if you're giving it to the Arnaki Shel Tzedakah, you might have thought, well, God knows why you're giving it to Tzedakah. But no. The point is that what is being done is the act of Hashava, and therefore it needs to be stated. This is not a gift. This belongs to my father. When he gives it over to the Arnaki Shel Tzedakah. Amen. Now, you must admit this is a very strange situation. I mean, the Mishnah said earlier that if the guy is mochel you, remember? So we started the parak. The guy was mochel you, the keren, even though he wasn't mochel the chomesh. So then you don't have to go all the way to madai. Well, over here, you and the guy are the same person. Why don't you put on another hat, look in the mirror, and say, I forgive you. There's always a good psychological thing anyway. Look in the mirror and forgive yourself. So why can't he be Merkel himself? Ask the Gemara, my Nimchalei l'nafshe. Doesn't it say, first in the Mishnah, Milo Tznan, Machalo ala Keren, Velo Machalo ala Chomesh, he doesn't have to go all the way to Madai. So here, he's the guy. So clearly, Alma Bar Mechilahu, there's nothing wrong. See, Bishleim, if you would tell me that if there's Mechila, it still doesn't take away the need to be Mekayim, the formal Hashava. Okay, I understand the problem. You need to do the formal Hashava. But the Mishnah said earlier that if the victim was Mochayu, then there is no din of making sure that there was Hashava. So in this case, why can't you simply be Mochel yourself? Fascinating question. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, look, as we know, there's been a lot of machlokasin about how far you have to go to be Mekayim in the midst of Hashava. Starting with the issue of you stole from one of five people, you don't know which one it is. Can you put the money there, so to speak, and it's available for when we discover which one it was? Which Rabbi Akiva said, no way, Jose. Enzu aderech lotzia midei avera. You want to be Mekayim Hashava, you're going to have to pay all five of them to make sure. Yeah, a lot of machlokas are in the same vein. This, says the Gemara, is a machloket as well. According to Rabbi Akiva, who's machmer on the formality of the Hashava, you're right, 100%. You couldn't even be mochel to another guy. So when the Mishnah said before that you're being mochel, I was not going to leave Rabbi Akiva. I was going according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Masha'inkin, our Mishnah, that says that you have to go through a Hashava, even though you are the guy and you could be Mochel yourself. That's not going to help you. Ah, that's Rabbi Akiva. Where do we see this Machlokas the Tanya? The in ein le'ish go'el, le'ashiv ha'asham. Now the case over here is, same classic case, a guy is nishba, a sheker, on money that he owes. He goes in his moda. He has to pay, keren, chomesh, bring an asham. The Torah repeats this halacha in Parshas Naso to add a din, which is, if the victim was a ger, and he never had a child as a Jew, so now he has no heirs. The only possible situation that someone would have no heirs, because every Jew, by definition, has an heir, as long as another Ben Yisrael is alive. Because ultimately the Yerusha keeps going all the way up to the Avos, to Yaakov Avinu, and comes back down again. So it's bound, as long as you have a 400th cousin around, there's going to be an heir. So who is the Torah referring to? It says, if the man has no heirs, it's referring to a ger. So, a ger comes along, you stole from the ger, you swore, you're made that you lied, you're supposed to be returning now the money to this ger, plus the chomesh, but he's dead. So what do you do? He has no goel, he has no heir. Then says the pasuk, Ha'asham ha'mushav la'ashem la'kohen. In that case, it goes to the kohen. Nu halacha of hashava that is given over to the kohen. The Braita says, V'chiyesh adam b'Yisrael she'en lo goalim. How would there be a case where someone has no heir? It's got to be talking about Ela v'gezel ha'ger ha'katuv medaber. Now, Aresh gazal ha'ger. Now here is where we get to the machlokes of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aguila. A guy stole from a ger, nishbalo, and he hears that the ger died. So he puts together the money, and he's off to Jerusalem to return the money to the kohen. Does Jerusalem close? Hopefully not. And he's going ahead, and he's on his way. Vayam alek aspovi ashamoli Yerushalayim, and on the way, he meets the deceased ger, who says to him, the rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. But, says the ger, I really don't feel like schlepping all of this stuff that you've brought back to the kohen, which is really mine. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You'll owe it to me. So as far as I'm concerned, it's been returned. That part I'm meichel, the value that you owe me, pay me when you get a chance, send it or make an electronic transfer into my account so I don't have to schlep this with me. Or so I'm not in danger of being robbed, whatever, but I don't want to take it now. So now he turns it into a debt. Zakvo lav b'milva. And now he does die. Before you have a chance to make that electronic transfer. So you say to yourself, well, why should I make the electronic transfer? He's got no heirs. There's nobody left. I was already Mekayim, the mitzvah Hashava, because he was Meichel me. And he just said, I owe you the value, but he said, you know, you'll owe me the money. So in that case, Zacha Hala B'Marsha B'Yado, Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, says Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, okay, the guy basically was meichel it to you. You can keep it. Rabbi Akiva says, oh no, there was never an act of return. Now was there? Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, it's tough. Ein lo takana, achiyotzi gzeilo mitachat yado. You're going to have to go through the motions, go to the Kohen, return the money, because there was never a case where you were Mekayim the Hashava in this case. Now, we'll see which Kohen. We're going to talk about it on Amud Beis. Now, the way we understand it at this point, and I want to point out the problem that we have over here. The fact that according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, it said, Zakfo alav b'milva, indicates that according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, you could not have been merchlet to yourself. In other words, what do we need that whole interlude? And you met the ger, and the ger said, the rumors of my demise, the whole business. I mean, that's all ridiculous. Why not just say, the guy dropped it, the ger rather dropped it, and you said, okay, I'll keep it. Why not? Since I could just walk into his house and take whatever I want because he has no heirs. So what's the problem? Doesn't say that. Because the whole rigmarole, have you met the guy? He told you it's okay, which is the equivalent of being merkel. So apparently you would say that that means you can't look at yourself in the mirror and say, I have the money of the ger. I'm going to take that money. But I have to be Mekayim Hashava. You go to the mirror and you say, hey, Joe, yeah? What you got to say? I want to be merkel you that money. Okay, thanks a lot, Joe. You're welcome, Joe. And now everything should be okay. Apparently you cannot do that, right? Because otherwise we wouldn't need the rigmarole. Now at this point, clearly that's not what the Gemara holds. Because the Gemara is saying, remember, we have two Mishnayot. We have the Mishnah earlier that says you can be Meichel, although that's talking about being Meichel somebody else. We have this Mishnah that's saying you can't be Meichel, although that's talking about being Meichel yourself. We're trying to say that really there's no difference between being merkel yourself or being merkel anybody else. So at this point, we want to make it dependent in a machlokas, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva. Now, if we think about this, we could say to ourselves, gosh, couldn't we just say that there's a difference between being merkel yourself and being merkel somebody else? We don't say that. Instead, we simplify and say, why should there be such a difference? Therefore, if I find a sheet of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili who says that mechila helps, then I understand it to mean that you can be merkel yourself too. If I find a shita of Rabbi Akiva that says mechila doesn't help, which is the way I want to understand our Mishnah, then that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, even if somebody else was merkel to you, it also wouldn't help. Which means that I understand the reason that it says over here, the rigmarole of meeting the ger, wasn't because that's the only way Rabbi Yossi HaGlili would have been satisfied and would have said you don't have to return it. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili wouldn't have minded even if you had looked at yourself in the mirror and said, Joe, you don't have to return it. I'm Michael. Okay, Joe. That's also enough. But for Rabbi Akiva, it's a big chiddush. We're over here, even the guy himself was Michael, which is the case of the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak. And even so, says Rabbi Akiva, no good. No good. You're going to have to actually go ahead and go through the motions of returning it. So we have over here, and Machlokas, at this point, in extremis. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is saying, truth is, you can be Merchelet for yourself. Certainly the other guy could be Merchelet for you. The opening Mishnah that discussed the guy being Merchelet, that was going like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. This Mishnah that says, you can't be Merchelet, and you're going to have to give away the property to your brothers, that's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, who says Mechila doesn't help. And there's no difference between oneself and someone else. Yes, Abba.
Someone steals a cow, gets converted to $500 debt, he signs an instrument, passes it over to the Rabbi.
He swore?
No.
We're talking about cases where he swore. Where the Torah was Machayev the man to get a special kapara. Which
in swearing.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the question. So therefore, what we believe is, to use the Gemara, that L'Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Loshna L'Nafshe, Loshna L'Achir, we're not going to start making a distinction between oneself and someone else. You could go ahead and you could be Mocha. According to Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't matter whether we're talking to a mirror or you're talking to another guy. Loshna L'Achirim, Loshna L'Nafshe, Lo Matzi Mocha. As far as the question of why you had to meet the ger and he had to tell you it's okay, that wasn't necessary for Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, the truth is, Hu Adin Afilo Lo Zikafo B'Milva. Even if you didn't now transform the cow into a debt that was owed you, The only reason that it goes through that rigmarole, Ayediktani Zakfo Alav B'Milva, is to tell me that even in that case, where there's no longer the cow, Lodiach HaKochon Rabbi Akiva, that feel Zakfan Alav B'Milva, even though it's now been formally transformed into money, nonetheless, Ein Lo Takana Achiyotzi Gzeila Mitachat Yado. You still have to go through the formal act of returning it. So now we have a major machlokas. Think about this, gentlemen. One Mishnah, earlier in the parak, it opens up this whole sugya of Hashava that says that the victim can be mochel the need for you to return it. Another Mishnah that says you cannot be mochel yourself on the need to return it. We're claiming that these Mishnayot represent two completely opposite shitot. The first one is Rabbi Yossi, who says you could have actually been mochel yourself. The second one is Rabbi Akiva, who says even the other guy couldn't be mochel you. Now that's awfully suspicious. Awfully suspicious. Because if you're trying to bring the two shitot of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, the right way to do it would be to say the extreme of both shita. Bring a Mishnah that says, even if the other guy was mochel you, it doesn't help. That will be the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva. Bring this Mishnah and say, even if you look in the mirror and you're mochel yourself, that would help, and that would be the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Instead, you bring exactly the wrong Mishnah for each one. You bring the lesser Chiddush, that according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't be mochel yourself. Heck, even if the other guy was mochel you, you couldn't be mochel. And you bring the lesser Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef Glili, which is, the other guy can be mochel. Heck, you could have been mochel even yourself. Now, there's something very strange about that. And it leads me to doubt the way you understand the machlokas here. Therefore, says the Gemara, Makiflar Reb Sheshet, this is a hot kafa, because this is mad. So Reb Sheshet goes on the attack. I mean, he says, what an absurd way to construct a perek which is coming to teach you a machloket tana'i. Isn't it more reasonable, Iach, l'Reb Yossi Aglili, l'shme'ina l'nafshe? We should have said a Mishnah, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this Mishnah, that he could be mochel even himself. And then I would know, obviously, somebody else, that you're mochel, it's a good mefila, v'koshkin l'achirim. And according to Rabbi Akiva, let's take the first Mishnah and say, even if the guy was mochel you, that means somebody else was mochel, it's also no good. V'ashmin l'achirim delo matzi mochel. The koshikin l'nafshayim, for sure, you cannot be mochel yourself to lo matzi mochel. Therefore, says Reb Sheshet, I believe that the very fact that the perek is constructed in this way is shouting from the rooftops that your understanding of the machlokas is completely wrong. I say, Havah Reb Yossi Aglili, actually, Reb Yossi Aglili does not say what you say. Reb Yossi Aglili holds you can only be mochel someone else. And that's why, he says, you had to meet the ger. And the ger had to turn it into a milveh. That wasn't there just coincidentally for Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's part of the whole story. If it hadn't been converted into a milveh, then the ger was never Michael. So what are you going to do now? Look at yourself in the mirror? Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds you can't talk to yourself in a mirror and be Michael. And therefore, everything works out beautifully. We don't hold of Rabbi Akiva in this parak. The parak is consistently Alib Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The first Mishnah that speaks of the victim being Meichel, indeed is what Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds right here in the story of the Ger. The second Mishnah, this Mishnah, that speaks of your being unable as an heir to look in the mirror and say, that forgives you, because you forgive yourself. Never. Rabbi Yossi Aglili also holds you can't do that. And therefore, everything is fine. So, Kikam Rav Yosek, Lili de Matzi Mochel, La Acherim, Avla Navshilo Matzi Mochel. And therefore, Amai Zocha Halaba Moshe B'yotem, why indeed were you able to get away in the case of the Gezel Ager without paying him back? Only because you met him and he was Zocha Lab B'milva. Now, everything works out perfectly. Rava says, now wait. We always prefer to have a Mishnah work out like Rabbi Akiva, don't we? Because it's Kulam Alim and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Meir was the Stam Mishnah. It was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Why is it working out like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? What we could say is this. I say, you're right in your attack, Reb Sheshet. I mean, the way that we were learning initially, that there was a machlokas and extremis, one Mishnah was one and one is the other, is absurd. But what we could say is Havaha Rabbi Akiva. We could say both are going like Rabbi Akiva. Indeed, according to Rabbi Yossi, you can be more for yourself. The case of Zokvan ben Milva is because of Rabbi Akiva. But Zokvan ben Milva is not quite the same as saying, I was mekabel from you the gezeila, is it? He never said the ger, I meichel v'hashava. All he said was, pay me later. Now, pay me later is not the same as I meichel. Therefore, what we have over here is a different machlokas. Actually, all that Rabbi Akiva ever held was, Kiyomer Rabbi Akiva, is that you can't be meichel yourself. That's this Mishnah. But someone else could be meichel. That's the first Mishnah. That if he was meichel the Karen, you don't have to go all the way to Madai to return it. Aye, so what about the case of the Gezel Ager, where the Ger was Zokvel of Bemilva? Well, there we have a different issue. I say, says Rabbi Akiva, telling somebody you could pay me later is not the same thing as saying, you were Makai near Mitzvah Shava, now get me the value afterwards. And look how subtle the creation is over here, of the structure of the parak. Because before getting to the question, we had a Mishnah in the same Mishnah that establishes the difference between the owning of the value and the act of the Ashava, which is exactly the issue of the Gezel Ager. The Gezel Ager, the way Rabbi Yosef Lili understands it, said, you were Mekayim the formality, but not the value. Whereas the way Rabbi Akiva understands it is, you can't be Mekayim that, unless you actually gave it to me, because I still want the value. It's just, it's so beautiful the way this is consistent and multi-level throughout. Therefore, comes along Rava to say that the Mishnah itself actually includes within it the subtleties of Rabbi Akiva's approach that allow him to argue in the case of the Gezel Ager and yet to maintain that in the opening Mishnah of these cases, the other person could literally be meichel you if he's also meichel for the value. And he says, okay, as far as I'm concerned, it was already returned. So, ki amar Rabbi Akiva, delo matzi meichel, that's only to talk to yourself, so nafshei, avala acherim, motzi meichel. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute. So then what are you saying, Alibin Rabbi Yossi Aglili? You're saying that Rabbi Yossi Aglili would hold that afila lenafshei nami motzi meichel. You could even be meichel yourself, is that right? So now, the case of Gezel Ager, I am absolutely flummoxed. The Torah said, if you steal from a ger, you need to go up to the Beit HaMikdash and bring it to a Kohen. That's insane. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why would you give it to a Kohen? All you need to do is say, Joe, I've received the return package. Thank you. You're welcome, Joe. Okay, Joe. So where is there ever a case that you would go up to the Beit HaMikdash to give it to a Kohen who is not Joe if you are Joe? So then ask the Gemara, so Gezel Ager de Kamer Rachmana Nitina Lekohanim Nechem Ashkachatla. If according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you don't even need to go through the motions, why are you going up to Jerusalem with the return? Omar Rava, you're right. The only case that the Torah was referring to was Achva Mayaskinan, Kisha Gazale Tager, Vinishbalo, Umet Hager, Vodalachar Mita. It's only if the ger died and you were moda after he died. If you're moda after he died, then beidna de'odi, the moment that you were moda, kono Hashem unetano lekohanim. It was at that point that the hegdish took over, because God says, so to speak, hegdish owns that which has no heir, for it is returned to his maker. And now his maker tells you, give it back to the kohanim. But if there was some human agency in between, in this case Joe himself, why would he give it to Kohanim? Just keep it. So if the Hodah would have taken place now before the Ger died, now you owe money to a Ger, why bring it to the Beit HaMikdash? Just be Meichel to yourself. Okay, so now we've got an understanding of our Perek, three different approaches. We've settled on Rabbi Akiva. Boy, Ravina, this is a Gzerat HaKatuv, is it not? When a Ger dies, Hegdash is kena it, you have to give it back to the Kohanim. How about if a Gioret dies? Because remember, we're no longer talking about value. We're talking about a formality. The formality is a Gzerat HaKatuv. Was the Torah referring to a male ger, Or was it, because it says, im ein le'ish go'el, strange, to refer to if the man has no heirs. I mean, it's im ein lo go'el, is what you could say. You stress ein le'ish go'el, perhaps what the Torah is saying is that this is a special halacha in which we need to deal with mel gerim. So what's the halacha? Gaza giyoret ma'am. Imein le'ish go'el. Ish omar rachmana. V'lo isha? Or is it just urche de krochu? Is that just the Torah refers to male or female as the man? He's the man. No, she's the man. Well, she's the man too. Omar le Rav Aaron Ravina Tashma. The Tanya. Ish. Eliela ish ishaminai. The Braita says, how do we know that the Torah is referring both to ish or to an isha? Kishuhu omer. When it stresses now, in Emli Ishkwe Lahashiv, Ha'asham Hamushav, what is this Lahashiv Hamushav? So clearly there's an additional Hashava, Harekam Shnai. Why then, in Kain Mata Medlomar Ish? No, it's not just he's the man and she's the man. It's coming to teach me something. Namely, Ish Atatzarich Lachzorach Rav Yeshlo Goalim Iblav, Katan In Atatzarich Lachzorach Rav Yadua Shein Lo Goalim. That simply brings out the idea of Gezel HaGer. We're talking about someone who doesn't have an heir. If he's an Ish, well, maybe he does have an heir. Because after all, he was already of reproductive age when he became now a Ger. How do we know he hasn't reproduced? They're saying, well, he never got married. And that doesn't prove anything. Find out whether he impregnated anybody. And then he would have an heir. But if he's a Katan, then that's what it's saying. If he's a gadol, you're going to have to find out. If he's a katan, so then you know he's not old enough to reproduce. So that if he's a ger, there's no problem of finding out. And then we kick in with the din of Lashem Lakohen. Tana Rabbana. Lashem Lakohen, this means.
So even two species here. Isha and katan.
No. The question was, did it mean velo isha? No, says the Gemara. It doesn't mean velo isha. It's just a reference to lo katan. But Isha is the same as an Ish. You'd have to give it to the Kohen. So is a Katan. I mean, the only point is that it's bringing out the fact that he has no heirs. Tana Rabbanan. When it says La Hashem, Ha'asham Abushav, is La Hashem LaKohen. What does that mean, La Hashem LaKohen? It means, Kino'o Hashem, that the Lord now owns it. And he gives it to the Kohen, Shvoto Mishmar. But not that you own it and can determine who to give it to. This is like any gift that's brought to the Beit HaMikdash. The Seder of the Beit HaMikdash determines its own order, not you. So in that case, you give it to the Kohen that is part of the Mishmar. Now wait a minute. Ta'omer la'Kohen Shavuot Mishmar. Perhaps indeed you have a right to give it to whoever you wish. Yes. Then it's a matana to the Kohen, like truma. So inu elo la'Kohen Shiyirtze. Ah, but it does continue to say, besides the El HaKippurim asher yechupar bo alav. Now you can't bring the El HaKippurim to whomever you want. You can only bring a korban to a Kohen who's working in the Beit HaMikdash, right? It's not your business to say, I want my cousin the Kohen. It's out of your hands, baby. You're bringing the El HaKippurim, the Beit HaMikdash will assign the Kohen. So too, since it puts it together with the Vada HaKippurim, clearly Arei LaKohen Shubotu Mishmar HaKatu Medaber. So therefore, it refers to the same idea, and this was Mimkarav ala Avot. The Kohanim gave away their rights to each Mishmar, gave away its right to work to the Mishmar that is working. And that means, as the Gemara says, Ani b'Shavati, I during my week, Ata b'Shavatcha, you during your week, and we have no claims one on the other. Yeah, like everything else, it's determined in the Mishmar. Tana Rabbani. How about if the Goslin was a Kohen? And now we have the same issue. It's going to be given back to the Kohen. How about you as a Kohen looking in the mirror and say, Joe HaKohen. Yes, Joe. You know, I owe you a gazela that I took from the stair. Ah, that's okay, Joe. I'm Michael. You keep it. So how about over there being returning the Gezel to yourself. So here we have an extension of the previous issue. So what if the Gezel was a Kohen? He should say to himself, look, why do I give it to another Kohen? I'm also a Kohen. So, I mean, why? If it's tachat yadi already, minayim shelo yomar, ho'il v'yotzei l'kohanim anyway, and it's already here, I mean, it's a little bit silly for me to take it out of my pocket and give it to another Kohen, isn't it? Therefore, yeah, he shall leave. It shall be mine. V'dinu, I mean, it's a kal v'chomer. Iba shel acherim hu zocher. I mean, I would be zocher to some other Joe who would be bringing back a gezel ager. So, I mean, I certainly should be zocher to my own thing, no? Ziba shel atzmo lo koshikein. Rabbi Natan phrases it more subtly. Omer b'loshon acher, he says, look, ma davar she'en lo chelek bo ad she'yikanes pershuto. I mean, for instance, truma, right? A matana, reshit hageis. I have no rights to this thing at all, where the guy does have tovat hana'ah. He determines whether he wants to give it to me. I can't go and steal it from him. But once it's mine, it's mine. You can't take it away from me. No other coin can come along and say, we want a piece of the action. It was given to me. I get to keep it. So, certainly, where I already have a piece of the action, because I'm also one of the coin, this guy has no tovat hana'ah. So davar yesh lo chelek bo, even before it became his. Achelo yikanes prishuto. So clearly once it became mine, because I stole it. So mishenichnas l'rishuto, enodin de inacher yocholot ziom yado. Certainly another Kohen can't come along. If he couldn't come along and take truma away from me, he certainly can't come along and take the gezel ager away from me. That's a very powerful kal v'chomer. But there's a response. Lo imar mit bedavar she'en lo chelek bo. On the contrary, when it comes to truma, no kohen had any rights to it, because the owner still had the tovat hana'ah. So in that case, the other kohen who says, hey, I want a piece of that truma, you say to him, well, the truma was never yours. What right do you have to come and demand my truma that was given to me by Yisrael, who had the tovat hana'ah of the netina? But in this case, tomar begezel, in the same way that you had rights to this, every other coin that's coming to demand it of you had exactly the same rights you had. So how could you possibly bring a kal v'chomer from a case where nobody had any rights? Therefore, gizelo yotze mitachat yado umitchalek lekol echav hakohanim. The gizela now is given to all of the kohanim equally. But, says the Torah, v'aktiv, the ish et kedoshav lo yihiyu. But does it not say that a man who owns kodesh, it belongs to him? So, I mean, does that not include that case? And that he indeed does get to keep it? What is that talking about? Ah, that's talking about achbem ayaskinan. Bekohen tame. So the din over there is, ish et kedoshav lo yihiyu means, a kohen who has a korban can bring that korban anytime he wants, for himself, and he is not part of the Mishmar. He does not have to give away the rights to the Akrava, or the rights to the meat, or the rights of the Orot, to the Kohanim in that Mishmar. All that was given, the din of the Mishmarot, which is the Milvad Mimim Krovel of the Avot, is the rights to other people, Korbanot. But Ishet Kedoshav Lo Yihiyu means a Kohen has a right to bring his own Korban. Which means that in the case where the Kohen now has stolen, and we were learning it from Milvad El HaKippurim, but wait, if it's my own El HaKippurim, let me bring the El HaKippurim, my own, along with the Geneva, and keep it for myself, just like I can keep the El HaKippurim. And yet you're claiming, I have to give it away to the Kohanim and the Mishmar. Something is terribly wrong. So why is it any different than the El HaKippurim from which you brought the Raya? If I could even bring the El HaKippurim. Answers the Gemara, you're right. But we're talking about a Kohen who's Tameh and cannot bring the El HaKippurim because he's not Roy Lakrava. Ah, so if that's the case, if we're talking about Kohen Tameh, how did you say those words? Davar sheyesh lo chelek bo. Why did he have, I mean, there's no chelek bo anyway. You said the kal v'chomer is, if he's already got a chelek in it, a Kohen Tameh does not get a chelek. So he doesn't have a chelek in the El HaKippurim, even if he's part of the Mishmar, because he's Tameh. And he is not Roy for the Aveda, and he is not Roy for the Achila. Now, if he were a Baal Mum, over there is a din of Chalukah. But Tuma, where there's no din of Chalukah, so then why did you, the whole kal v'chomer makes sense in the first place. So why did you say, davar sheyesh lo chelek bo, mi'itle, where's the chelek? Ooh, you're right. Okay, let's take that from the top. Ela atya la kohen miste achuza. Actually, what we're learning the whole halacha out from is not the case of the El HaKippurim. Let's go back to the beginning. We're talking about a regular kohen. He's a kohen tahor. He's making a kal vachomer. If I have a chelek in it anyway, let me keep the whole thing. Why should it be yotzi miyadi? We can't turn around and say, therefore it says in the Torah, the Ela Kippurim, because they'll say, thank you, the Ela Kippurim I can also bring for myself. So what's your taina? Ah, you're right. The truth is we're talking about a kohen tahor, and the only reason that we have a right to take it away from him is not because of the din of the Ela Kippurim, is because we learn it out of the halacha of stei achuza. And what is that? The tanya. Achuzato. Why does the Torah say the word achuzato? The halacha is, somebody gives away his nachalav to Hegdash. He has a right to be poda that until Shnat HaYovel. But once the Shnat HaYovel comes along, the Sadeh is Yotze B'Yovel to Lekohen Tiye Achuzato. Now, we've been talking about the Achuza all along. Why does it say Lekohen Tiye Achuzato? Why not just Lekohen Tiye? So the Braita says, Achuzato Mata Mudloma. Because it comes to teach me like this. Minayin L'Sadeh Hayotza Lekohenim B'Yovel V'Gala Echad Minakohenim. Suppose somebody came along and bought this Sadeh as a Geula during pre-Yovel. Now it comes to Yovel and the Gizba comes along and says, sir, the Yovel has come. That is the Stei Achuza that someone had given. When you were Goelit, you only had rights to keep it until the Yovel. We'll be taking over that field now, sir. You could pack out. The Kohen says to the Gizbar, but wait a minute. I'm also a Kohen. This is ridiculous. You're going to take it from me to give to all the Kohen. Now, this is exactly the same case as we would have by Gizel again. Why take it from me to give to other Kohanim since I was already bright enough to buy it at 10% of the value? I get to keep the whole thing now during Yovel as well. So therefore comes along the Torah to say that minayin l'sedei achuza hayotzal kohanim b'yovel. Where Gala Chad Min HaKohanim, Minayin Shalo Yomar. Where do we learn that he does not have the power to say, well, Haru V'Yatzal HaKohanim anyway, B'Yovel, Harei Tachat Yadi. I mean, look, it's already here. I mean, I've already moved in. You know. Yeah, I mean, Tehei Shali. I mean, it's a Kal V'Chomer, is it not? V'dinu. B'Shelach Harim Ani Zocheh. Look, you're going to be giving me pieces of the action of hundreds of Stei Achuzos all over the country. So, I mean, kosher cane, I should keep the one I've already got. So, b'shelatz milo kosher cane. Therefore, Talmud Lomar comes along the posuk to say, kistei hacherem lakohen tiyeh achuzato. Oh, yeah. The kohen gets to keep an achuza if it's his own. Achuzato, that should be his. But this is not his. So there, achuzato shalo, but einzo shalo. This is not his. And therefore, haketzad, what then is the din? Yotza mitachat yado, it's taken from him, umitchaleket kol achav hakohanim. So too, the kohen that is mentioned over here, la Hashem la kohen, is learned from the la kohen of stei achuza, just like over there, we cannot make this argument, even though you're right, given only the information of milvad ela kippurim, I might have made this argument on a kohen, who's tahor? But in this case, I learned it out from stei achuza. And I say that Torah has gone out of its way to delegitimize this argument and to say wherever the Torah wants a chalukah to all of the kohanim, it doesn't help to claim that you're already there. Mm-hmm.